CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday morning. We're live. Yes, I am Sia Sangweni. And with us on the show this morning, Leanne Moll and Gareth Cliff. Hi, everybody.
Hi. Good morning. Good day. Good afternoon.
Yes. How's everybody this morning? How was the weekend? Good? Relaxing?
Oh, I had a very yummy sleep. It was very hard to get out of bed today.
Oh, yeah. No, that's one thing that's nice, you know. Like, there are so few things about winter that are nice. That's one of them. You had to take it and run with it. But you went on, didn't you go on some kind of hike?
That isn't cool anymore because now everyone is doing it.
Everyone is hiking.
But where can you hike? Surely everything's closed up.
Oh, no, there's so many different options in and around Johannesburg. And yes, some of like the major parks are still closed, but there are different places that are open.
Yes, they are.
As a matter of fact and correction. But as one of the best tweets that I saw this weekend stated, hiking is the new banana bread. Because when I left on Saturday afternoon, there were so many cars in this parking lot where I went that I actually bumped into someone who was driving in, saw the number of cars and turned back around. And they looked so startled. They're like, well, we thought we were going outside to hike for social distancing. There's no way you're going to social distance with this many cars.
Well,
and I guess it's well, people trying to find the next activity to pass the time.
Yeah, I went to like a picnic thing yesterday.
Oh, picnic.
A picnic. Which is actually really, really nice. It's beautifully organized. It's at one of these venues that, you know, they multi-purpose. They kind of have done festivals there and they've done weddings there and all kinds of things.
Okay.
And now they're doing this to make some money. So they give you a little picnic basket, which is delightful. You bring along your own whatever it is you're drinking. And you've got to be careful because you don't want to be stopped by the cops with booze in your car, right?
So you hide it in shampoo bottles.
Yeah, so you hide it. And then...
No, Leanne, in shampoo bottles?
Yeah, that's she taught me. In fact, I phoned Leanne and I said to her, what do I do? And she said, oh, you just put it in shampoo bottles.
No,
you
that's
wash
what we
them
used
out.
To do for help for, at felt school. Well, I, in those days I was innocent. I didn't, but the other girls did.
Okay, but still no. So how many people pull up to picnicking, Gareth?
No, it was less than, I think it was 10 people. And then you're socially distanced from other groups of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's no different to like the rules for the restaurants, you know, as long as you have a capacity, like there's also only so many people they'll allow into the property. And then some people hike and some people picnic. But they have a cap on the total number of people they're allowed through the gates.
Well, that's it was nice and sunny, so that must have been great.
Yeah, well, I actually got a bit of, like, sun. I realized I needed to take sunblock along. So that was interesting.
Oh.
Anyway, I mean, it was just nice to get out of the house as well and do something, you know, be like a little bit, in inverted commas, normal again.
Mm. Right. Was there any music?
Well, someone had a little
like
speaker.
Performances.
No, someone had a little speaker on the table. That's about as much music as we had.
Someone like rested their cell phone inside a toilet roll to make speakers.
That's exactly what we did.
That is so pitiful.
Someone had one of those little speakers.
Nice.
Well, over the weekend, my housemate and I, it started as a bit of a joke. But we actually got into the vibe of doing this. Somehow, you know, I had different playlists on and we were listening to music. And then it went to this random John Legend song and it was the live version of the song. So like, haha, let's pretend as if, you know, we're at a concert. And then we're like, actually, this feels good. We started just listening to live performances and we'd cheer with the crowd. And then we dimmed the lights a little. We thought, oh, okay, sort of counts, right?
But hang
on. Oh, my gosh.
Leanne, what happened to your dad? I heard something happened.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, you had drama quite a heavy weekend.
What happened?
It should actually make the news. The journalist in me should write a story about it.
Yeah? What went down?
So on Saturday morning at 6:30, around 6:30 in the morning, just to give you some context here, my dad is a professional cyclist. He was a professional cyclist. He's been cycling professionally since the age of 15. He's obviously a veteran now. He's not one of those annoying cyclists that go out and think they own the road, etc. He's like, you know, he came 16th in the world in his division. He's a top proper cyclist. So before anyone gets annoyed with cyclists on the road, that's my little 2 cents before we start the
preface.
Story. Yeah. So he was on a normal morning train on William Nicol. And a car came screeching up behind him and hit him and knocked him off the road.
Oh, my God.
But in such a way that this car's bumper came off, their side mirror came off. Oof. All of this was impacted on my dad's body and bike. He flew off the bike and landed chest down on the curb.
Hectic.
He always breaks his bones, but he's broken his collarbone again for the umpteenth time. And he also bruised his heart.
Oh, my God.
So that shows you the impact. Thank goodness there were a team of about 30 cyclists coming up behind him. They didn't see it happen, but they missed it by a few seconds. Mm-hmm. And he was unconscious at the time. He was just lying there. And they managed to bring him round and call my brother, who lived down the road. My brother came to fetch him and took him straight to hospital. He had to be monitored for the enzymes coming from his bloods, from his heart, because those were elevated. And that was from the bruising and the damage to the actual heart.
My God. And the people who did this?
They just drove off.
You're kidding.
Carried on driving. Didn't stop. Left half their car behind and just carried on. So on the way back from the hospital, my brother was driving past the scene of the accident, and he said, look, someone's taken the mirror, but the bumper and some other debris still there. And I said to him, you know what, stop and take some pictures. Mm-hmm. And actually put the bumper in the boot. We don't know how far this will go and what sort of evidence we get. So take the evidence.
Absolutely.
And so he did. And he realized that it's actually next to that new complex that has been built right at the beginning end of William Nicol, if you're coming from the Hyde Park side.
Yeah.
After you've crossed over Sandton Drive, there's something called Sandton Gate.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, with a gym at the bottom and all sorts of things.
There's like a garage on the other side of the road there.
Yeah, it happened there. And my brother realized that Sandton Gate has its own security cameras at that intersection.
Ah.
So he took a chance, went in, spoke to the security guard, and they were very willing to help out.
Nice.
They phoned their head office, and they have found the footage, video footage of this happening.
Oh,
thank
my God.
Goodness.
So they would only send it on to us once we had a case number.
Mm-hmm.
So once my dad was discharged from hospital yesterday, they went straight to the police to.
So he's discharged.
Number.
He's at home. He's recovering, but he's obviously still in bad shape.
Yeah, he's in bad shape. So they will email this footage to us once we provide them with the case number.
Mm-hmm.
But we are hoping that you can see a number plate on it, and we're going to nail the bastards. We've already found attorneys working with the Road Accident Fund.
Excellent.
I actually hope, because it was so early on a Saturday morning, I'm presuming this person might have been drinking.
Hmm.
And I'm actually hoping that some privileged idiot who thinks they own the road and can drive around drunk, because we'll nail them so badly.
Yeah, I mean, this idea of a hit and run is just so annoying and wrong in so many ways, obviously. I mean, you know, your dad's been hurt, and even if it wasn't your dad, the idea that someone would drive into with speed, and obviously, you know, you're not just rolling forward.
No.
This is a serious thing.
Yeah.
I think it's hugely irresponsible. I mean, you could kill someone.
They don't know the state of your father, Liam.
No, they just drove off. He might have been. They could, you know.
He might have been dead, exactly.
How do they live with themselves? I just don't know. You know, this has happened in the past where, way back, before cell phones and in the 80s, my dad would go cycling at training at night. And he didn't come home. My mom and I started driving around looking for him.
Oh, goodness.
And we went back home after no result, and we got a call from a hospital. A nurse on her way to the night shift saw a tiny bit of his helmet sticking out of the felt. He was lying there unconscious.
My God.
And she took him to hospital. So this has happened before. It's not unusual for people to hit cyclists or pedestrians and just carry on driving.
Your father has lived so many lives, man.
Whew. Yeah.
Look, not at all or by any means of condoning what this person or these people did by driving away. But, you know, panic also makes you do stupid things.
Yes, I mean, I know people have been inclined before to actually get out of their vehicle and run if their vehicle's unable to drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's a psychological known reaction. It's like a flight or fright thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, that can happen. But at some point, you not return to the accident site and try and find out? I don't know.
Yeah, I just think it's just so unacceptably bad. And for people to do this and think they can get away with it is crazy. You know, we've got enough trouble in the world right now, and there are enough real reasons for people to just try and keep it, you know, keep yourself contained, try and behave yourself a little bit. The society can hardly handle people who are driving around hitting cyclists on purpose. And even if it wasn't on purpose, take responsibility. I mean, if I am in a parking lot and I scratch someone's car by mistake or something, it's only ever happened to me once. I will leave a note on that person's windscreen with my phone and my details, my phone number and details, and then we can sort it out. That's exactly what happened to me. It's like, I don't know, 15 years ago, but that's what we did. And it happens. But this sounds like it's malicious or really, really just stupid and irresponsible.
Or drunk.
Yeah, and either way, I'm glad that you're going to be able to nail these people.
I hope so. I hope we find a number plate on
there. Just keep us updated. That sounds very, very interesting.
How's your dad doing? I feel like he's the type of person that isn't going to let this shake him up. Like, as soon as he can, he'll be back on a bicycle.
I mean, he's been hit and run where he wasn't that bad off by taxis a lot of times. Taxis just carry on driving and kind of hooted him after they pushed him off his bike. This isn't his first radio show.
Look, I'm so ready to be old because I already complain about 40,000 things. I can't imagine at that age being bumped and then you still want to go back up and cycle.
Well, it's so funny. Like I saw a ton of people cycling on the roads that I went to this place on yesterday.
Yeah.
Just like loads and loads of cyclists. So clearly people are getting out there. They're getting some exercise. I saw runners as well. And, you know, it's good to see that at least. Because I do believe, you know, one of the ways that you will be able to fight this or any other disease, because they're going to be others. You know, after COVID, they're going to be a whole bunch more.
Yeah. And they might keep fit.
You keep your immune system going and make sure that it's as healthy as possible.
On that note.
That's all you can do. Yeah, on that note.
I'm very, very pleased to announce.
Yes.
That I did my first bit of exercise over a year.
Over a year. What did you do? Did you walk to the fridge? What did you do?
Was it voluntary or involuntary? Like, were you chasing one of your dogs?
What did you do?
It was voluntary, and I did a YouTube exercise video for beginners, low impact.
Nice.
I mean, I used to be the aerobics queen in my day.
Yeah.
And the thought of going to a low impact class repulsed me.
Yeah.
So what does low impact mean?
Does it mean like
instead of like doing star jumps, you'll do stepping to the side and lifting your arms?
Okay.
So there's no actual jumping and hitting of the knees, etc. Because I thought, let's just start off slowly. And I did the whole thing. I was very surprised. I was also surprised at how slowly I move now.
it's
a start, and I'm going to do it. And I've set my alarm for, because we've got a safe zone that we can walk in my suburb, because you can't just walk anywhere. Well, people are being held up wherever they walk. So
sure.
Yeah. Listen, this criminal thing is ridiculous. And guys, you've got to be so careful at the moment. Whoever you are, wherever you are, there are a lot of very, very dangerous things happening.
Absolutely.
All over.
People are desperate.
So this is like a demarcated zone in your neighborhood?
It's a few blocks wide and long, and it's a circuit. And that is monitored by security, and you can walk that safely.
Okay, so you walked that. How long was it all together?
No, I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it today.
Okay.
I'll measure it today.
Well, I also got something of an adventure done yesterday, because while driving to this picnic, I was stopped by a police roadblock.
Oh, yeah?
And it was the Metro Police, and they were checking for fines.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and my word.
No, I mean, normally I'd be nervous about that, right? Because my driver's license did expire, but I'm inside the amnesty period, so I still have to get that sorted and get a booking. And we've discussed this with George Meany a couple of times. So I said to them, you know, my license, and they're like, no, that's okay. We understand, because people are struggling to get appointments. But then they go off to the caravan and they check your fines, right? They go through all your fines.
So, and sometimes we don't know if we've got them or not.
Well, exactly, because you don't receive them in the post anymore. Mm. So you have no idea, unless you go onto the websites that they send you to. Anyway, so I had one fine for 125 rand, and I don't know what it was for. But, I mean, that was the only fine I had, so they're like, you can pay this next week.
Oh.
But I was such a relief, because you know how you think, oh, my God, now I'm going to have to go and pay this, and, you know, it could be like tens of thousands of rands if you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it can happen that they leave your car on the side of the road and take you to jail.
Oh, yeah. No, that has happened. Especially if you've got like three outstanding fines that have gone to court, for example, and you haven't pitched for them or whatever, and you don't know. And like, some people genuinely don't know these things, because they don't serve notices the way that they used to. So I was very relieved.
There should be a town crier.
I was actually quite proud of myself. I was like, yes, look at that. I'm such a good person. I have 125 rand. That's the only fine they could find.
Imagine just minding your own.
My ID number or my car.
Imagine minding your own business on your way to dinner, dress so smartly. Oh, yeah. You get stuck at a roadblock like this. Then you're taken to jail.
It happens to people.
Oh, next thing I'm sitting across Large Marge, as opposed to, it's like,
whoever else is in the cell with you, you're going to leave naked, and they're each going to have a piece of your suit on. Large Marge is going to be wearing a bow tie in an unspeakable place.
Yes, exactly. Jesus. Oh man, what a
Big John's gonna have
pants
around his ankles.
It does feel like it's a little more dangerous in the world right now. So just be extra alert and extra careful, and just avoid situations where you could find yourself in trouble.
Yeah, try not to make trouble for yourself.
Really, and stay at home as much as possible. I keep saying it really bothers me that our freedoms have been revoked in some ways, and we're still all imprisoned in our own houses. But actually, that's the safest place to be. And just try to keep it, you know, as much as possible there.
Yes, and keep your cats away from the heater.
Oh, my God. Listen, last week, Friday's show, Leanne, at this time of the morning, she was like, there's some smell. And she got up, and you can actually see the video on Instagram. Well, it turns out she did an examination of one of her cats. And the thing was, it had actually singed its hair on its back.
Sure.
His ginger hair had become dark brown, and it was falling off in microparticles.
Because it had been burnt. What kind of a heater is that? gas one?
You know, no, my oil panel heater recently blew up in the socket. So it's an open bar heater that's very dangerous and that I rarely use.
Yes.
It's very effective, but you don't want to leave it on for a long time. So I just put it behind me and keep it on full. But he obviously just decided to lean against it because it was so lekker.
Yeah, and then this...
You know that the smell was in my house for a day?
Oof. What does horrible. It smell like?
Burnt hair.
Have you ever smelled like in a hair salon where you've got like... Or even if sometimes I've caught my hair in the back of a hair dryer.
Mm.
That burnt hair smell, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's got to be one of the most horrible smells. Another horrible smell is the smell of the river in front of my house at the moment. I don't know what's happening upstream. Who's pooing directly into the river?
I know. Well, there hasn't been any rain, so...
Well, that could be part of it. It's all drying out or whatever. I don't know, but it smells like a fucking sewage farm.
Ew.
And there's nothing you can do about it. So at night, even if... Thank God it's winter and we're not going outside. But if I wanted to bry or I wanted to do anything, it would be impossible. It just stinks.
And
that is a river. Now, there are birds and ducks and all kinds of things that live on there. And... I don't know how they survive. I mean, it's got to be like a health hazard. If I fell into that river, I'd have to go straight to hospital.
You'd have bilharzia.
Way worse than that. I'll tell you what, I'd have some terrible things going on, not to mention that I might have to be cleaned out from beginning to end. I might have to put like a power hose up my backside and wash me out that way.
Oh. You'd probably get out of the river with an extra arm.
I'll tell you what, Sia, there's such filth in there. And, you know, I tried to clean it up because I felt like I, during lockdown, needed to expand my sense of tidying up the world, right? So I start with my house, I make sure that's clean and tidy, then my garden. And then beyond my garden, there's this river down at the bottom. And I was like, well, let me go and do something to clean it up. Because they're, you know, plastic bags and just people have no respect for their environment at all.
And, so annoying.
And I'm not prepared to live looking at this rubbish dump. So I went down there and I took those big black rubbish bags down and I just filled it up with everything that I could get that I would pull.
How long did that take you?
Oh, like 4 days. And I did as much as I could. And I cut down some branches that were dead and I just really tried to make it look a little bit prettier because winter's so unattractive already. It's so ugly, so brown and just... There's something about like a Gauteng winter. It's if you're a depressed person and you need beauty in your life, do not be in Gauteng in, you know, June, July, August. Just try and get out of there.
Make a mental note.
If you're on suicide watch, yeah, I mean, Cape Town, don't come to Gauteng in winter.
Really, Cape Town and Durban and various other parts of the country have a beauty about them in winter. And some of them even stay green. I mean, KZN stays green quite a lot. And then you've got places like the Karoo that have that wintery beauty about them. I won't deny that isn't special. And you know those crisp cold winter nights where you can see all the stars. But Gauteng's gross. It's gross because we have smoke pollution from all the people making fires. We have these densely populated areas. We have humans who just defecate and throw their shit down wherever they are. These are the people who will ask you to treat them with respect, but they don't treat themselves with respect.
Nasty.
You know, shopping bags. And I thought that when we started paying for plastic bags, one of the reasons to start doing that was it's almost like a tax so that people go, well, I paid for this, therefore it has some value. Therefore, I'm going to reuse it and I'm not going to just throw it down wherever I am. But I can tell you 80% of the muck that comes down this river is like people's rubbish, just their rubbish.
You know what irks me the most is when you see either like a McDonald's or a KFC bag filled with all the empty remnants of a full meal in the road.
Yeah. You're like, look, I understand.
That's not like, oops, the wrapper flew away.
And it's not like, oops, these are poor people who, you know, don't have a home. Because if you're getting those takeaways, they're not cheap. And I'm not going to say that they're cheaper than buying actual food, but there are cheaper things to do if you want to sustain yourself and feed yourself.
No, they've thrown it out of the car.
Correct. It's people who have...
Purposefully.
Right. Yeah. So it's people who have a car, which is a start, you know? You're throwing that shit out. It's just unbelievable. And I honestly think that if people are to be treated with respect, look at how they treat themselves. Look at how they treat themselves. And if they live in their own ordure, then you actually can't be respected.
Or their own odor.
Well, there's some of that as well. And I can vouch for that. Just go outside. I'll take a little walk outside. You know, I'll report on the smell.
If only we could send each other smells via WhatsApp.
Well, I was thinking about that. You know, we can get into a whole discussion, because you remember I went to South by Southwest in Texas a while ago, mm-hmm. and they're working on virtual reality, and we can do that visually now. And you can wear a virtual reality headset, and you can pretty much feel like you're in a story.
Yeah.
But the next thing, and sound was always the first one to do that, because you can create sound that activates imagination, makes you feel like you're in a certain place and doing certain things. So sound you can tick off. The visual we're getting to tick off. I mean, it's very, very real now. Mm-hmm. And you know, a lot of these games that people play are incredibly real.
Mm-hmm. And then there are those theaters you go in for where they blow air onto your feet and move your
right.
seat.
Right. Some of that feel stuff is starting to come through. But then you've always got taste and smell as the last two, right? And they say that smell's the most difficult one to achieve.
Yeah.
Because you pick up so many different smells.
Which has really always been a fascination for me as to how cooking shows do so well. Huh. With no smell and no taste.
Yeah. I mean,
yet you love them.
Good point.
People watch that stuff. I've never understood it. I've never been.
I know you haven't. Yeah.
I do not get it at all. There are whole channels. How many channels are there devoted to that stuff?
40,007.
Ridiculous. All right, let's get into some headlines for this morning. There's quite a lot going on in the world that we need to pay attention to, and you're in the right place. So COSAS have threatened to shut down all the private schools in South Africa. This is because there are people, obviously, who are in the unions who want the schools to be shut down to save the teachers' lives, because we've realized that kids very seldom get this COVID thing, and they very seldom transmit it to adults, right? But either way, Angie Motshekga wanted to open schools, and now they've been cries from people on the union side to say, no, this is very unsafe for teachers. But now, not just satisfied with public schools being closed, they also want to go in and close the private schools. Because, you know, if you have the PPE or the equipment and the means and the resources to actually keep your school safe, and you're a private school that's not owned by the government, that doesn't mean a damn thing to COSAS. They want all the schools closed. They say pupils have been forced to choose between their lives or an education, which is nonsense. Government announced all public schools would close for 4 weeks in an effort to curb the spread of COVID as the country's infections surge. Matriculants, however, will stay at home for only a week, while grade 7 pupils will return to the classroom after 2 weeks. Private schools can do what they want. COSAS president Douglas Ngobeni said thousands of children would be left behind, while their wealthier peers would continue receiving an education. Well, welcome to a world of practical realities. Rich people can afford to educate their kids better than poor people. Why is that a surprise to you? I mean, doesn't that seem obvious?
Yeah.
And COVID is going to make that gap worse, not better.
It's that sad reality.
It's just the reality. And you can't punish the private schools just because you fucked up the public ones. Right? I say this as someone who went to public schools. I didn't go to private school. And I feel very sorry for the kids who are at public schools, and that's the only option they have. And I feel sorry for the parents too, but tough. I can't live in a mansion. You know, I can't fly to my private island. Everybody's unequal at some level.
Yeah.
And this is just the reality. You don't get to tell private schools that you have no control over, Congress of South African Students. You don't get to tell them what to do. If you want to tell them what to do, buy into those schools, pay those fees, and then you can do what you want there. And until that, you don't get a say, I'm sorry.
I still maintain, if I was in matric right now, I'd be pissed, because I feel like we could go to some point of them either being underqualified or having to spend like more time completing their year.
Yeah. It's horrible. I feel very sorry for matrics. And, of course, then people are going to, you know, treat them differently, because they're the matrix where basically people are saying, well, you know, even Prof. Jonathan Janssen's like, the year's a write-off. Give it up. Anyway, two people have been shot dead at a church in Centurion on Sunday after they allegedly stormed in during a service and tried to rob the congregants at gunpoint.
Church is becoming a really dangerous place to be.
According to police, three individuals entered the church in Vierde Park and robbed the churchgoers of personal belongings. One of the congregants then allegedly opened fire, killed two of them inside the church.
One of the congregants.
I'm so proud of whoever that man is. Yeah.
Good so the congregant him. Came to church with a gun.
Yeah, damn right. This is what you've got to do now.
Praise be.
Isn't that great? No, seriously, praise Jesus that this guy had a gun on him.
I'm going to praise Jesus with a gun.
That's what you got to do. So the guy pulled out a gun. I think it's
I'm
great.
In the Lord's army. Yes, sir.
Yeah, exactly. I love this. Damn straight. Make sure you got your gun on you, people.
Yo, okay. Peace be still
this is
and
proof,
peace.
This is what proof steal. Of what I've always said. It is better to have a gun and not need it than to need a gun and not have it. And I would love to be in a situation where some asshole tries to break in with guns, tries to steal stuff from people, and then one of the people in that congregation pulls out a gun and blitzes the motherfucker. That's great.
Well, if it's not robberies, it's the sort of church gang wars that are going on. And if it's not that, it's being in close proximity and getting COVID.
Yeah, so either way, if you can, church should be off your list as well.
Like I've said to those, I said to those who, you know, my domestic worker wanted to go to Moria and the once, and it was just.
You say it so exotically, Moria.
Moria.
Okay, sorry.
And I said to her, please don't go. It's so dangerous on the roads. And she said, but I must go to praise Jesus. And I said to her, if you believe Jesus is there, you believe that Jesus is here as well. Praise him here.
No, you're right. Keep
something's
yourself safe.
Gonna get you.
But isn't that a hell of a story, huh?
Wow.
Sure.
Good for
That's
those
also
people.
Traumatic, man.
Good for the guy who had a gun. And they shot two of the robbers. Third one got away. But they shot them dead. I love that. Dead. Sudan will send more troops to the rest of Darfur region following a recent spike in violence there. Oh, this just carries on being a disaster. The forces would protect people during the farming season. Unidentified gunmen killed more than 60 people in the region on Saturday and another 20 the day before. Can you believe that? Several villages were burned, markets and shops looted. The escalation of violence in various parts of Darfur is leading to increased displacement, compromising the agricultural season, causing loss of lives and livelihoods, and driving growing humanitarian needs.
Oh, that place needs so much help.
Yeah, so it's just a disaster. I mean, Darfur has been a disaster for a very long time. It's an enormous province on the western side of Sudan, and it's also one of the places where they are desperate to just get people enough food. I mean, there are humanitarian relief camps all over the place. President Omar al-Bashir was overthrown last year. Remember, he used to be our president's friend, our former president's friend. Came and landed here for some conference, and we refused to arrest him, even though he's wanted by the International Criminal Court for alleged war crimes and genocide in the region. So we'll see what happens, but he could face the death penalty if he's found guilty. So I hope they try the bastard, and let's see what happens. Let's get that going. ASAP. All right, and then in other news, this is always an interesting place to look, to the stars. Astrophysicists have revealed the largest 3D map of the universe. As if we weren't living in an exciting time already, there are people in astrophysics who are busy doing tremendously interesting things. They released on Monday the largest 3D map of the universe, a result of analysis of more than 4 million galaxies and ultra-bright, energy-packed quasars, the effect of hundreds of scientists from around 30 institutions worldwide have yielded a complete story of the expansion of the universe. Isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Those people must have such an amazing perspective on life.
I can't wait to look at this thing. So I'm probably going to be obsessed with that all day today.
Yeah. I mean, who cares about Google Maps anymore?
Yeah. It's amazing. And you know how obsessed I was with that.
Yeah.
A blood test has been shown to detect 5 types of cancer years before diseases could be spotted using conventional diagnostic methods, according to a new study. Developed by Sino-US startup, the test found cancers in 91% of people who showed no symptoms when the blood sample was collected, but were diagnosed 1 to 4 years later with stomach, esophageal, colon, lung, or liver cancer. The immediate focus, is to test people who are at higher risk based on family history, and then you will get some kind of really early warning. Isn't that cool?
It is cool on one hand.
That is so reassuring.
Yeah. It is on one hand, but on the other, do you want to know?
Yes,
yeah.
I think you want to know, especially because a lot of these things, if you catch them early on enough, you can completely avoid them. You know, cancers can be beaten the earlier you capture the information.
What's your hesitation, Leanne? Why don't you want to know?
So say they say, all right, you're predisposed to getting stomach cancer and it'll probably be in 2 to 3 years' time. How you're going to live in fear for all those years, even if you're doing the absolute best you can and keeping yourself in peak health and taking all the supplements and eating the right things, you're still going to live in fear. It's kind of looking into a glass ball, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it depends how you look at it. Like, I wouldn't be opposed to know when I would die, because I know some people would be freaked out by that, but woo, I wouldn't know if I had 3 years and 6 months to go, I'd party it up.
Yeah, look, I don't think the answer's easy, and everybody has a different way of looking at these things, but I'd kind of like to know, then you can do something about it.
Well, I suppose, you know, there has been for many years now a test to see if you're predisposed to breast cancer. Mm-hmm. And a lot of women whose mothers or grandmothers have died of breast cancer have had elective mastectomies.
Right.
So I suppose it's along those lines. But
famously, Angelina Jolie had that, remember?
Yeah. But it's not like you can remove your liver if you...
No.
Yeah.
But I think they can find ways of curbing an early onset of any of those things. You know, you get the stages of cancer, and if you can catch it early on enough, then you can do something about it.
Mm.
All right. Well, those are your headlines for this morning. Isn't that cool?
Okay. We learned some things.
Learned some useful things today.
Yeah.
Like carry a gun in church.
Right.
And astrophysicists are doing great work.
Absolutely. Let's just quickly talk about the 150 million... Rand house that is for sale. It's apparently South Africa's most expensive home. So if you have, you know, a few million rand just in cash lying around, I don't know, maybe you've started your own church that's been involved in the intra-church gang warfare, and you made some cash out of that. Leanne, where can we go and buy this house?
Okay, do you want to guess where it is?
Probably in Cape Town.
Yeah, so they're usually... You'd normally go to sort of Camps Bay in your head, Clifton, or Fresne, and this is where this one is.
Okay.
On Alexandra Avenue in Fresne. It is officially the most expensive home in South Africa at 150 million rand, and it is up for sale.
Okay, so what do I get for 150 million rand?
Well, it's quite surprising, because you'd probably think it has a lot of bedrooms, for instance. Isn't that the first thing that we always start off a listing with, is the number of bedrooms?
You'd think, well, this has got to be, for 150 million, it's got to be like 10 bedrooms.
It's only 5 bedrooms.
Really?
But the finishes in this joint are unbelievable. I mean, we're talking glass and brass spiral staircases onto floors that are encased in glass.
Leanne, for 150 million rand, can you put more respect on it, please, and don't refer to it as a joint?
Okay.
At 150 million rands, it is an estate, a compound, a palatial something.
Oh. This jewel in Cape Town's
glass. There we go.
Right, yeah, you see, you know how they sell that on like one of those magazine TV shows or in those estate agent booklets, like, this distinguished residence can be described by, you know, the following superlatives, and then they go into a long list of all these incredible things that, but it always doesn't tell you a damn thing about the house.
Well, I mean, again, this doesn't have that many. You'd think it has like 4 reception rooms. No, it's got 2 sort of living areas, one dining room, an open plan kitchen, a scullery, a pool, garden bar, a water feature. Then come the sort of extras, a sauna, a steam room, a gym.
Then what are you paying for?
You can get all of that stuff. Obviously not in, you know, the most perfect location, and I'm sure this place is all about location. But you can get most of that stuff, and you can maybe pay like $1 or $2 million, and you could get that in a less special area, let's say.
It's only got four garages. I mean, I'm thinking like, if you look at Jeffree Star's place that he's got, it's got wings and wings of different rooms and how, like flatlets and cottages and all of that. This is all about the view. It's all about the area. It's all about the finishes. It's about floating staircases and marble. And
well, you're looking at pictures of it. Can you describe it to us?
Well, I'm looking at the one picture which I described as a spiral floating staircase made of glass and some sort of metal. I'm reckoning it looks like brass. There are quite a few art installations of like spiral metal, very sort of abstract. It's very open plan where it's got sort of air, how can I describe them? Passages that are in the air with glass sides.
All right. Okay. That sounds exciting.
It looks very Miami Vice in 2020. White and glass.
Okay.
And it's not distasteful. I mean, some of these places that have movie theaters and all of that in Joburg are actually quite gross and, you know, not well decorated.
But you know, you could get all of this stuff in a house.
Exactly.
In Ruderpoort, and it would cost you like, you know, maybe 2 million, maybe 2.5.
So here's what you would need if you wanted to buy this place.
Okay.
A monthly salary of at least 3.95 million each month.
A month? I don't know that there are too many people who have that.
I just missed it.
I really don't think. Yeah, that's quite a lot of money. All right.
I'm on 3.8. That's unfortunate.
I might have to give you a raise.
Thank you.
The payments required will be 1.1 million rand per month over 20 years. And you'll need to be able to make a payment of more than 20 million rand before claiming the house as your own.
Yeah, but you see, that's how no one who's buying this is on a salary. And no one who's buying this is paying it off on a month-to-month basis. They're buying the whole thing lock stock, right?
Yeah, exactly. They're just going to pay cash for this.
Correct. They're going to come in there and they're going to say, I'll get my bank to do a transfer. Let my people talk to your people kind of thing.
And just to put this into perspective, this house will be selling for more than 7 times the value that the last available property in Clifton went for in June.
Really? Because there are no properties available anymore. You'd be near Cyril Ramaphosa's house there, by the way.
Damn.
No, he's got one up there. You know, our president, who's also a billionaire.
Not holding it against him. He earned his money.
Yeah, did he?
I'm going to believe that.
Let me put one disclaimer to this property to anyone who even might be remotely interested in buying it. The killer will also love this house.
Oh, really? Is it a good killer house?
There's no place to hide.
Really?
It's all open plan. There's glass everywhere.
Doesn't the killer like to hide?
Yeah, that's what. Come on, Sia. The killer's not going to like it because he can't hide anywhere.
Well, you can't run nor hide away from the killer because the killer will see you. The killer will have one clean shot down the corridor.
Bet you this place is a panic room. It's even got a walk-in wine cellar. And in fact, if you put up a couple of security doors, I'd be happy in there for a couple of weeks.
Okay. They'll happily just drop you from the third floor down to the first.
I've asked this question before. When you hear about these properties, I mean, who wouldn't want to live in an incredible house? But how they get this to 150 million, I don't know. Like at least 100 of that million, 100 of the 150 million, is just about the view.
Yes, now, and the area.
I'm sorry, but a view, of course, it has its perks, you know. certain things about a view that you just can't reproduce, and it makes people feel a certain way. And but most of the time, I mean, half the time, it's dark, so you don't have that view. The other half of the time, there may be cloud, it may be bad weather. There are all kinds of things. So maybe you get, I don't know, out of a year of 365 days, let's say the summer is magnificent. That's 6 months. And in that summer, let's say two-thirds of it is just perfect weather. So that's what, 50, maybe 40, 50 days. Okay? You're paying for a view, 100 million rand, for maybe 50 days of the year where it's perfect.
So here's the clangor. Can you imagine that someone from Silicon Valley buys this as a holiday home in Cape Town, and they only stay in it 3 weeks of the year?
But that's exactly what happens with these super properties, these incredibly expensive properties. So I don't know. And, you know, to me, like being in a house, it you kind of have to make it yours, which means you have to have your stuff in it, your books, your clothes, you know, the kinds of things that make you feel at home. Now, if you're only spending a month or two in this house, then you can't really make it yours. It feels like a hotel. So why own it? Why not just buy you know, rent it for a little while? Doesn't that make more sense?
Yeah.
They say here that there's uninterrupted 360-degree views. So you see the Atlantic Ocean, Robben Island, and Lion's Head.
Jesus. Okay, well, I mean, even so, I have to say, I don't know whether it's worth that money. Look, 100 million, 150 million in this case, is a hell of a lot more than what the actual property, in terms of the actual brick and mortar that you own, is worth.
I should call the estate agent and just say,
like, how do you how do you thumbsuck that number?
Yes.
You know, I have to know, because I've always wondered, what's the difference between a 10 million rand house? And I mean, listen, a 10 million rand house, I've never lived in a 10 million rand house. You've got everything you need. And a 100 million rand house, what's the difference, really? It's all in presentation. Just seems to me like it's kind of crazy. You're dropping 10 times the money.
You see, it's the same as wine. So, wine. So, a bottle of wine actually costs no more than 40 rand to produce.
All wines, yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of on average, that's true.
And even if it's a really good wine that wins awards, it still doesn't cost 300 rand a bottle to produce, or 450 rand,
exactly,
or 700 rand.
Yes, I know where you're going on this one. This is a good point.
Yeah. However, some people want to be able to buy that wine. You think about it along these lines. You're at a bottle store and you need to buy a gift because you're on your way to a 40th birthday party. Uh-huh. And you don't want to buy a 60 rand bottle of wine.
No.
Even if that wine cost 40 rand to make, you want to buy a 200 rand bottle of wine.
It feels like you're getting more.
So that's what these properties are.
Mm-hmm. I know, and what you've just said makes perfect sense, but it's still ridiculous.
It is, and it's for the ridiculous.
Yeah.
To buy.
Yeah, I mean, 150 million rand on a property. There's no amount of living there that's ever going to make it worth that much cash.
Yeah, I've got a challenge for you. I say phone the estate agent, because what I want to know is, what do you need to... There are going to be some restrictions on whether you can just view the house or not. It's not like you can just walk in. I'd love to know what those are. Do they need to see your bank balance?
Yeah, you can't just rock up there in your little car with a beginning car with a 1.1 engine either. You can't. I'm sure there's some vetting that they do.
Absolutely. Otherwise, they're going to have everyone traipsing through there.
Ooh, what if she doesn't even pick up my call, because she can tell from a mile away, this one?
Well, you know,
it's not in our tax bracket.
If you're an estate agent, I think you have to be careful, because if you judge the people who are coming to look at this place, they may be playing a game with you. They might actually have serious cash, but they drive around in a normal car. They don't necessarily, maybe you don't know who they are, you know, because a lot of very wealthy people, nobody knows until they tell you.
But I'm sure they have certain tells that they pick
up. I'd be interested.
Everyone's wearing a tracksuit these days.
Yeah. Everybody's sitting at home in their slippers. Very hard to tell who's actually got money.
No, but it's the same thing. It's like, you know, I would use very specific tactics to find out if someone is wealthy or not.
What would you do?
What do you call the thing that tells the time that's on your wrist?
Your watch? Right. You can tell by watch.
No. It's a timepiece. See? Oh, no. Watch, yeah. You're just rich. Okay, but timepiece, wealthy.
Some people don't wear a watch.
I'm ready to be an estate agent. I can sell this house. I'll find the people.
All right. I'm curious about the same things Leanne is. Okay, so we've got another week of level 3. Level 3 has been going on for how long, this lockdown? Feels like forever. And remember, they went to level 3.
Since June, I think.
And then we had sub-levels. Yeah, so June, we're at the end of July, and August is starting. When does August actually kick off? Is it this week?
This week, Saturday.
We're the 27th today. So the initial predictions were that the peak would be in September, but it seems to have moved forward a bit to August, which is good because it means you'll get over the peak a month earlier than anticipated.
Did you see those horrible police in Cape Town with the protests? They were firing water cannons at people and stun grenades, and really peaceful protesters who had every right to be on the streets protesting for their jobs. And the police in Cape Town decided to get all heavy-handed with them. I think it's completely unnecessary, don't you?
It didn't have to get to that point.
I mean, it's so mean. It's just mean-spirited. And, you know, this is where I'm like, F the police. And I'm not that kind of guy, because I do believe there are good police people who are doing what they can to protect us. But it just, this irritated me.
Do you think they were getting antsy because there were large crowds gathering together?
Well, that's what they say. The government's going to use, the bureaucracy and the government are going to use COVID as the excuse for anything that they do at the moment. So forget about government doing anything right in the next year or two. All they're going to do is say, oh, well, it's as a result of COVID.
So, and this is the DA government, remember?
Well, this is the DA in the Western Cape, but the police are national, right? The police are administered nationally. So even if the Cape Town, I think they have their metro police, but the South African police are the national police. And Becky Taylor is in charge of them.
Which stands to reason that they at one point wanted to have their own police force.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also this group in the Cape who wants their whole... the whole province to be separate from the rest of the country, Cape Independence. And that's something worth looking at. You know, you can write it off as being complete nonsense, but maybe they've got a point. And maybe people who are living in South Africa, who, if the Cape became free, would rather live there, they would move there. And then South Africa would lose all its money, because anyone with any money would move to the free Cape. So that would be interesting to look at.
Damn, you know, there's it might sound very innocent and pure coming from me like this, but protesting is all good and well and powerful, and kudos to anyone who stands up and protests for anything. But I'm still stunned when I hear of people who are part of violent protests, because I've grown up and I've never felt that I have anything that I believe so passionately about that I would endanger my life. As soon as I would even smell violence, I'm like, okay, cheers, it was great, bye-bye now. And to think that we're living in times, man, where people are just so desperate that they will stand up to police, I find it sad.
You find it sad that people would do that? They'd actually go out there and protest violently?
No, I find it sad that things have to resort to violence and
We haven't figured out a better way.
Yeah. Exactly. And these aren't people who just were sitting at home this entire time and decided off a whim to stand up. No, these are people who called the relevant authorities and they emailed the right parties and they set up boards and organizations, and they still didn't feel heard, or things didn't take action enough, to the point where really you go down to the basics of saying, well, fine, if it's a fist, it's a fist. If it's, you know, a gun, it's a gun. But we are now going to be violent. That is what is sad to me.
Yeah, I think I'm in agreement with you. Like, we've got to find a better way of doing this. And maybe one of those ways is to hold governments more accountable. I mean, I'm just upset because over the weekend, and we'll talk about this just after seven, but over the weekend, I had both interrupted water supply and interrupted electricity supply, not as a result of load shedding or of some engineering problem. And I pay my rates and taxes, right? So if I don't, then they cut me off. But it wasn't just me. Our whole neighborhood was because of sabotage. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of people who work for the Tswane municipality just went around opening up all the fire hydrants in Pretoria.
What?
Yeah. So just wasting water.
What, in protest?
Yeah, emptying the reservoirs. Whatever their reason is, I don't care what it is, but that's sabotage. And I know for a fact no one will be arrested. I know no
one's thinking of the line or the chain of events.
No, and these people may be municipal workers who just want more money. And this is their way of asking for more money because there is, you know, as CS says, there's no other way to make your voice heard. We haven't got a better way yet. And I'm really annoyed by it, but we'll talk about it just now. Let's get your morning started. CliffCentral.com. I hope you're off to an awesome start today. You can get hold of us if you'd like to on 079-748-2090. Tell us what's up and what you'd like to throw into the mix. CliffCentral.com.